Welcome to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. We are still in Florida. Pastor Kyle is home in New Jersey. We are doing our social distancing during this global pandemic, and this is our first new episode since the country was basically shut down. And we wanted to do it this week because this is the holiest week of the year.
Yes.
And we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Easter Sunday. So even though we are living in strange times, scary times, coronavirus has, and the threat of coronavirus has canceled everything around us, the virus cannot cancel our celebration on Sunday. It cannot cancel our spirit every day. It cannot cancel our hope. It cannot cancel our joy. It cannot cancel our will. And it will not and cannot cancel our faith. And you know what? The enemy, right? I feel like the enemy is rejoicing because churches will be empty, and they have been empty for the most part, and they're going to be empty on Easter Sunday.
Right.
But guess what? So is the tomb.
Right, and the church is just the building. The church is inside our hearts, really.
That's what we're celebrating,
right?
That the tomb is empty.
So the
church may be empty, but we're celebrating that the tomb is empty as well, because Christ is risen.
Yes.
And he already won that battle.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy has already been defeated. Victory is ours, and it is time to claim our victory, reclaim our victory. And that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode. Our guest on this special resurrection episode of Faith on a Field Show is Tampa Bay Buccaneers punter Bradley Pinion. He will share a powerful testimony, an incredible story that you have to hear. You must listen. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this interview coming up. Now, this may sound a little different, the show, because Remy and I are not in a studio. Pastor Kyle's not here.
Mm-hmm.
We are, as I said, we are in Florida. We came down with our girls, Alexia and Melina, to Florida, as we do every March. I cover spring training.
Mm-hmm.
We also take some vacation. Mm-hmm. And then baseball and all sports were shut down in mid-March. And with New Jersey being...
I just still can't believe it. It's
wild.
It's so wild.
But... this is what we have to go through. This is what we're going through. And New Jersey's is one of the country's hotspots for the virus. And every day we see, unfortunately, all the new cases and the death tolls. And so we decided to extend our stay here in Florida. And first off, before we go any further, and I'm sure you echo these feelings, babe, because we've talked about this among ourselves, that we want to thank everyone who is out there on the front lines, the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare providers who are putting their health in danger every day to save lives. Your brother and sister-in-law are both doctors in Florida, and they're having to see patients and all of that stuff. And all of these people, to me, they're the real life heroes. Police officers, firefighters, the EMTs, everyone out there. But
honestly, everybody.
Even the people like working in the stores.
The grocery store workers, the meal deliverer, the Amazon people that ship. Anybody that's out there every day on a daily basis.
The delivery people who are bringing you food and everything else.
The grocery people, everybody. I can't believe that they still go out there and do this. So I am thankful for you guys. You're amazing. And I pray for you every single night. I really do.
I thank you, thank you, thank you. And we are praying for you every day.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone also who's affected, those who are sick, those who have the virus, those who know someone and lost someone, we are praying for you. The millions out there who have lost jobs, and so many people, so many businesses, so many careers that are just gone now. We're praying for you. We're praying for all of you. And people say, like, what do you pray for? I pray for this. I pray for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for strength. And I pray for peace in Jesus Christ.
And I pray for a change. I don't know why, but this keeps just striking my heart. I feel like change is coming. And it needs to start with each and every one of us. We have to start with the change inside of us and inside of our homes. And if we do that change, the world will really change in a different direction after this is all said and done.
I think all of us really are struggling to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
Why it's happening.
Yeah.
And I've always been the kind of person who believes that everything happens for a reason. To me, everything happens for a reason. There is a plan. There is God's will. I don't know what God's will is. We don't always know it. We don't always understand it. We don't know every situation. But I feel like in everything, we have to find the good. The Bible, right?
For your good.
Yeah, the Bible tells us right there in Romans 8:28, one of my favorite Bible verses. In all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him.
Yeah.
And it's not just in the good times.
Right.
It's not just in the tough times, the difficult times too. It's, you know, it's easy to be, oh yeah, things are going great. God's working things out for me. Things are going crazy all around us. But there's some good, right? And there's something to find that's good. And I want to say this because we've talked about this because you and I, we're quarantined together with our girls and this is the most time that I've been able to spend with my family.
Yes.
And I see the country is paused, right? We've paused. But I firmly believe that we needed this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I saw, now don't take this out of context.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we needed a global pandemic people to die. I believe we needed a pause because our priorities were screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Sports and entertainment, money and fame and celebrity had, they became false idols.
Mm-hmm.
And we were always on the go. Everyone, I was always on the go, sacrificing family time, putting work, putting fun, entertainment, putting our own selfish desires ahead of what's really important.
Right.
And oftentimes, we put it ahead of the one who is most important, the Lord. And I know you feel this way. I think even churches, the body of Christ, were becoming too focused on constructing massive buildings and maybe building their brand and took their eyes maybe off the Lord. And all of this had to stop. And it did. So our normal was flipped. Our normal was flipped upside down. So what becomes our new normal? It's tragic that there are so many people who are sick and affected and dying and suffering. And I feel your pain. We feel your pain.
Yeah.
Throughout history, there's always been suffering. God never promised us a life free of the storm. How often have I said that? He promised those who put their faith in Him, who genuinely believe and trust Him, that they're going to have peace through that storm.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, right? This battle against this invisible enemy has been won. Victory is coming. Just like the resurrection is coming, Easter Sunday is coming, victory is coming.
Listen, this has been something I've been wrestling with because on a daily basis, and actually every hour or so, I feel like I'm feeling so many different emotions, and I know I'm not the only one. Like, I'm positive I'm not the only one because I see it even in you or the kids or whatever, because I don't see anybody else. But I know for myself, I go through insane, like crazy amount of emotions in one day, which is just weird with this because at one point you feel, okay, I'm happy. This is good. I have my food. I have my water. I have my husband, my kids, a shelter, a place. I have everything. And then the next thinking you say to yourself, okay, this is miserable. I can't do this. I need to go outside. I'm going crazy. And then the next emotion is frustration. And the next emotion is okay. And the next one is contentment. And the next one is sadness. And then it's like a rainbow of emotions that you don't know what to do with it. But then I find myself going, at least I feel like the Holy Spirit whispers to me and go, just come closer to me. And then this whole rainbow of emotions is going to come down and you're going to feel peace. Every time you feel chaos, I always hear this one sentence and I just repeat it to myself. Peace be still. Peace be still. And it's, I don't know what verse this is in the Bible, but peace be still is just something that Jesus said when the storm was going crazy around him. And he was telling his disciples, why do you have little faith? You need to just say, peace be still, and everything will calm down around you. So, yeah, it's in Matthew somewhere.
It's in Matthew 8.
Matthew 8, exactly. So, this is the phrase I've been saying. This is the verse I've been saying to myself. Every time I feel weird emotions coming along, every time I feel that there's anxiety coming or that I'm not feeling like my normal self, I say, peace be still. So you're saying to the things around you and the emotions and the weird things that are happening in the world and the news and people are saying this and people saying that, you just say to it, peace be still. So the weirdness that's happening in the world The craziness and this virus, just remind yourself that God is above that storm. He is above it all. He can look at it and say, okay, be gone, and it will be gone. And I know he's working on that, and I know he's working through the scientists and working through all these doctors and working through everybody that will bring something, a solution to this problem. So we have to just keep praying for these people and keep repeating to ourselves, peace be still. The storm needs to calm down, and it will calm down. And I pray in Jesus' name that it will definitely be pinned to the cross on Resurrection Sunday, and this whole thing will be behind us very, very soon. I'm believing for that.
I'm believing it with you. I'm feeling confident.
Yeah.
And we know that the battle's going to be won. We know the battle's going to be won. The battle has already been won. Right. The enemy has already been defeated. Jesus, yeah. The tomb is empty. Mm-hmm. And as we celebrate on Sunday, Christ is risen. Right. There's nothing that he can't defeat.
Right.
But as we're going through this, as we shift our focus and we shift our eyes, and I'm hopeful that people, that all of us, right, that we won't take things for granted anymore. Yes. See, all the small things that we just took for granted.
Like a hug.
Imagine that.
A
handshake, which they talk about like, oh, I don't know if that's ever going to be anything that people do. A handshake, a hug.
I like hugging.
All of this stuff that we took for granted. Just a simple act of going to a store, interacting with people. Now, I've been out, and I'll run in, and you know how I come back and I drop all the bags and I'm running to take everything off. But it's weird because when I'm out trying to get some groceries, we don't make eye contact with people anymore.
It's weird.
And we're putting our heads down, and we're trying not to look away. And the other day, I saw a woman in scrubs. And she was in scrubs. So I was like, are you a nurse? I just want to thank you. And she said, I'm actually not. I'm a pharmacist. I said, well, you know what? Thank you. And thank you because you're working. Thank you. Whoever, you're out. The girl at the checkout counter, and I don't want to mention the name of the store, but I thanked her just for being there. And she said, I just wish they'll let us wear masks in here.
Well, they made it mandatory now for everybody.
So now it is. This was last week where she told me it's not mandatory.
Right.
She said that particular store manager said it's inappropriate. And I was like, man, here's a single mom working. Like these are the people you feel awful for everyone, but those who have to work and have to be out there, and we need them. And man, I can't say it enough. Thank you to all of them. Thank you to everyone out there. But this battle is going to be won. And how do we become better through this? What is our new normal going to look like? How do we flip that upside down? Where do we shift our focus, right? Where do we go from here? If everything after this goes back to normal, if the priorities go back to normal, then
I think this is
wasted.
Everything is about to change. I think life as we know it is going to be very different. It's going to look very different. And I'm not saying to the worst. I actually believe it's going to be for the best. And I really, really do believe that God is going to invade every area in everybody's life, whether they like it or not, because he's really coming for the church. He wants to build the real church. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about church inside each and every one of us. And the believers out there, we need to step up. We need to step up, and we need to really deliver what the cross taught us. And we cannot live in fear. We cannot live in this mediocre faith where one day we think, oh, no, this is going to win, and then the next day, no, God is going to win. We have to have a firm foundation. We have to believe 100% that we are going to win this. It's already won. When you walk in the Spirit, you don't walk in fear. Nothing can touch you in the Spirit. But if you're going to be lukewarm about it, it's going to be a sad situation for you, because you're not going to know where you're at. It's kind of like your cup of coffee. We were just watching this movie the other day, and it was the one scene where the woman is saying, I'm pretty sure everybody is familiar with that movie. It's amazing. War Room.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, the lady's asking the main character, do you want your coffee lukewarm? And she said no. And she said, well, your faith cannot be lukewarm. You should know if you want your coffee to be cold or hot. And us Christians should really know that. We should know and believe that we are 100% believe that God is going to come through for us no matter what. Even if it's a global problem, he's going to come through for his church, because his number one priority is build his bride. He wants to make sure the bride is ready for Christ to come back.
I think about what Jesus said in John 16, and it's one of my favorite chapters. There's so many. I can't even pick and choose. But I love this verse. Mm-hmm. And as he sets up the verse, he's telling the disciples about all of these things that are going to happen. The bad stuff that they have to go through. Things that they have to endure. Right? And he says, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. Mm. Think about that. Look at us right now.
It's happening
we
right
are
now.
Scattered, each to our own mm-hmm. home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me.
Yeah.
And then he says, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace.
Mm-hmm.
In me you may have peace.
Yeah.
In this world,
mm-hmm.
you will have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But take heart. I have overcome the world.
Right.
He overcame the world. This sure global did. Pandemic, he will overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we need to have firm faith.
Yeah, we really
it
do.
Can't be lukewarm faith. And but at the same time, it's normal to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's no if you struggle with it, like I don't ever want to tell someone how they should feel.
No, because I said I feel like a rainbow of emotions every
right?
day.
Right? We're up and down.
Right, yeah.
And that's so, it's we, none of us have been through this before.
No.
We don't know what it's like. And, but for me, I keep going back to, my peace is in Christ.
Right.
My peace is in Christ, and that's why I feel steady.
Right.
Even when the emotions may shift one way or another,
mm-hmm.
I feel steady because my peace is in Christ.
Right. Yeah, and you know, another thing with this whole situation with the virus, it's making me really look at the family unit. This is something that's been on my heart for a long time, and you know that. Like, I just feel like God speaks to families. God loves families. And for the longest time, especially about 2-3 months or so before this thing hits, I feel like I know personally a lot of people that were struggling with the family unit. And there was a lot of divorces and a lot of discontentment and a lot of anger and a lot of hate and a lot of people that don't know how to communicate together. I feel like, and maybe this is the positive side of this, you know, because I like to look at positive sides. I really think God wants to connect families together through this. And if we can just connect with one another, see the positive in each other, and move forward together as a family, we can conquer anything. Because the family unit is kind of the nucleus of the whole church.
That's
so
beautiful.
If we can just focus on a family and work together as a family, and between the four walls, just love on each other, get together, pray every day, and just do something positive every day and focus on Jesus, we will get through anything together as a church.
Well, you just gave me an idea for the next episode. I love it. I love it. That's something that we should expand on and really talk about. But coming up, we're going to have Tampa Bay Buccaneers punter Bradley Pinion. You have to hear this interview. I got goosebumps listening to his testimony.
Yes.
He did as well. It is powerful. It is an incredible testimony. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our episode delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media. I am at Rob Motti on all my social platforms except for Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting once we're all able to gather in groups again. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Our guest, Bradley Pinion, is a punter and a kickoff specialist for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He went to Clemson, played three seasons there, was drafted in a fifth round by the San Francisco 49ers in 2015, and spent his first four seasons with the Niners. He signed a four-year contract with the Buccaneers last year and will enter his second season in Tampa once football resumes, along with all of the other sports. Brad has an amazing testimony. It's incredibly powerful. I really enjoyed our conversation. Here is that interview with Bradley Pinion. Brad, I saw the Buccaneers social media team were asking players how they're coping with this quarantine. And they posted a video in which you said you lean on your faith and you stay in the Bible and you stay consistent in prayer. How much is that helping you right now in these are troubled times and they're uncertain times?
I think tremendously, honestly, because if you aren't solid in your faith right now, or if you don't have a relationship with God, I don't know how you're getting through it. Because the only way that me and my family and my wife know that we're going to be okay and everything is going to be okay is that we know God's got us. And that's how we're living our day to day. Just giving it to God, knowing that this might be crazy and God may do some things that we don't agree with or don't understand, but knowing that He's fully got us. He's fully, has His hand on us as He has our whole life. That's how we're going to make it through each and every day, and just taking it one day at a time. Just staying firm, like you said, in the Bible and prayer, and, continuing to try to spread His light. And that's all we can do.
We talk a lot on this show about Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. I firmly believe in these difficult times, and really in any difficult times, Brad, that we can find something good. For me personally, I'm getting an opportunity to spend just a lot of time, awesome quality time with my wife, with my two daughters. What good is coming out of this situation? I mean, I know it's really tough to even say that because there's so much going on around us and there's so much sadness. But for you personally, what are you finding good coming out of it?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, me and my wife were just talking about this yesterday. We think that it's been an opportunity for the whole world, really, to slow down.
Yeah.
The world that we live in today is just such a fast pace, and everybody's going and doing and trying to go to the next best vacation or the next best thing, and not really cherishing what they just did or what they've done or what they're doing in the moment. And my whole like theme for the past like month has been kind of like, what is my life? And I say that in a way of like, we've traveled and we've gotten to meet and spend time with some amazing people, and these just people that without the platform that God's given me, I wouldn't be able to spend time with or talk to or do these things that we've been doing. And it's kind of like, holy crap, look at our life. Like, what is our life? Like, what is this? Like, how did I get here? Like, what got me here? How did God get us here? Like, this has been like the theme of my life for the past, I feel like, almost a year now. These amazing things that God has put in our lives and put for us to do in our lives. And like, this is like the same thing with this COVID-19. It's like, it's allowed us to slow down. It's allowed us to not travel. It's allowed us to appreciate the time we have at home, appreciate one another, appreciate our dogs. We don't have any kids yet, mm-hmm. So we'd appreciate our kids. and just to like really look at our families and be like, man, like, what if something happened to them? Like, no longer are we going to put off those phone calls. We're going to put off those text messages that we may read and not respond to. Like, man, like, what if we lost them? So just, it's really allowed us to find what's really important in life. And that's like holding firm to your faith, holding firm to God and the Bible, holding firm to your family, and holding firm to the people that you care about and the things you care about most in life.
Yeah, you don't take anything for granted anymore. You know,
that's
the thing I look at. I can't take anything. I think a lot of people are learning, and they've learned that maybe 2 weeks ago already. Don't take anything for granted. Now, you and I know this is a big week. It's the holiest week for Christians, and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Easter Sunday. And it's not going to be the same because we're not going to be able to get together and fill the churches. But that really, it's doesn't change the truth that Jesus died on that cross for us and rose up from that grave because he is Lord. So no matter what's going on around us, that is the truth of what we are going to celebrate. What is Easter Sunday meant for you, and what does it mean for you, and how different are you looking at it this week?
It means life, and that's something they're really hard to look at in this week because there's been so much death reported and so much bad things reported. I think it's so only a God thing that Easter can fall in one of the hardest times that the world has gone through, that the United States has gone through in really the last few decades. Whereas like the symbolization in this picture of life is coming on during a time where there's so much death and there's so much destruction, there's so much worry and there's so much doubt. But then you have this symbol of life and prosperity and just light coming from this one resurrection, this one image of God. And that it's falling in the middle of all this, I think, is only a God thing. Because you are going to have all these Christians and all these people out there talking about it, talking about Easter and talking about it. Whether it's through social media, through podcasts, through interviews, through all these things around this time, when a time that so many people need to hear it that may not have heard it before or may not remember it or may not know about it like they should. It's coming. I think it's just the timing is only a God thing. That's what I'm most excited about, is to see how this Easter may not be the way us Christians, I guess, want it to be, where we can go to church and where we can like have it the way we have it. That's the way God wants it to be, and that's what I'm holding for, man.
Amen, man. I know I've seen this on your Twitter bio, Proverbs 23:7. So it's got to be a significant verse for you.
Yeah. So it's there's different versions, and the version that it stuck out to me the most is, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he."
Mm.
It's a actually the story of me coming to Christ. That's how it kind of came into my life. And if you don't mind, I'll share that story real quick.
I'd love to get your background and your testimony, because I know you grew up in the church with your grandparents, great-grandparents, yeah. Church, but that's our, you know, all of us, our faith has been handed to us. When did it become your own?
Yeah, so like you said, I grew up in the church. My grandparents actually started the church. We're kind of the founding 12 of the church in my hometown. West United Methodist is the church in my hometown. So, like, they were part of the founding 12. So I was very fortunate enough to, the church doors were open, we were there. Very fortunate enough to, like, know the background of Christ, have that instilled in me. But I didn't make it my own until about my junior year of high school. And I was trying to decide what college to go to. I had all these, very fortunate enough to have all these offers to go to these different colleges. And I had narrowed it down to three. It was between Clemson, UNC Chapel Hill, and Georgia. And I was kind of like trying to figure out like which one I wanted to go to. They're all amazing schools, great educations, great football programs. And my parents were split, and I was driving from my dad's, so my mom and I lived about an hour from each other. And it was in the middle of summer. I was driving, and I was like kind of just like thinking about it, like, man, I don't know which way I want to go. And I was like going into my junior year. Going into my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I was young. So I was 16 at the time. And so like, I didn't pray as much as I should have. And like, yeah, I wasn't as firm in my faith. Cause it wasn't my own yet. And so I was driving and I got an inkling. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to turn down the radio, in a little S10 Sonoma truck that I have and, turn on the radio and just pray. So I turned on the radio and was like, God, it was like a 5-second prayer. Like, God, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what school to choose. Help me. And I turned the radio back up. I was driving through a town called Statesville when I said this prayer. And, so I got home to my mom's, went to sleep, went the next day, went to football practice, like a workout. And, I had some kicking camps coming up that I was preparing for. So I didn't do the weight room clap part of it. I went and kicked on the field, and I went to my high school coach and was like, hey, I'm going to go kick on the field. He was like, great, you can't use the game field today. I always use the game field, because our practice field was atrocious. And so, you can't go on the game field. We just treated it. We just did all this stuff to it. You have to go to the practice field. And so it was one of those situations where, like, I never practiced on the practice field when it was by myself. I always went to the game field. So I went down to the practice field, and the practice field at Northwest Cabarrus High School has a track around it. And it's a public track. People come out and walk and do all types of stuff on it. So I was out there kicking, and Concord at the time, I don't know if you know much about North Carolina, Concord's right outside of Charlotte.
Okay.
It's now like a suburb of Charlotte. It's a pretty big town now, but when I was growing up, it was a very small country town. And Charlotte has kind of engulfed it now. So it was very country, very southern. Mm-hmm. So I'm out there kicking, doing my thing, playing footballs, and a Prius pulls up. And now, mind you, it was a country town. You didn't see Priuses. You didn't, like, know Priuses. So a Prius pulls up, and I was like, well, that's weird. Like, I'm surprised I knew what a Prius was, to be honest with you. So, like, the Prius pulls up, and then, like I said, again, it was a very country town, and a large African-American steps out of the car. Now, we had some, but we didn't have very many African-Americans in our town. So it was still something that was very uncomfortable to me. So I was on a field that I was not comfortable being on, like an uncomfortable field. And I saw a car that I was not usual or uncomfortable with, and a person got out of the car that I was not comfortable with. And he was also carrying a large wooden stick.
Wow.
So he starts walking around the track, so I'm like kind of keeping my eye on him because it's just a very uncomfortable situation. Like, just wasn't, it was just weird. It wasn't normal. Didn't feel right. And so he's walking around the track. He kind of can tell he's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And he starts to walk onto the field, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, if I'm going to fight, I'm fighting. So, like, I'm ready to roll. And he walks up to me and was like, are you Bradley Pinion? And I'm like, kind of like thrown off because, like, his tone and everything was very calm and very chill.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I am. And he was like, you're the kicker here at Northwest Cabarrus High School. I was like, yeah, that's me. And he was like, I'm a pastor from a church in Statesville, which, if you remember, I was driving through Statesville when I said prayer.
Wow.
I'm a church from a pastor in Statesville that guy came to me in a dream last night and said that I needed to come talk to the kicker at Northwest Cabarrus High School. So I immediately Googled who you were, saw that you're one of the top out there, blah, blah, blah. And he came to me and wants me to share that verse. So the Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Wow.
And he was just talking to me and talking to me about it and talking to me these different, talking about God and talking, like, really just to me. And it was just like a calming, like, all the uncertainty and all the things that were, like, uneasy for me, like being on that field, the Prius, him being African American, the stick he had, mm-hmm. all this stuff, all these uncomfortable things, just like everything got really calm. And we were talking and talking, and then he leaves, or he turns to leave, and I turn to go start kicking footballs again. And I realized he didn't tell me his name. So I turned back around to ask him what his name was, and there was nothing there. He wasn't there, the Prius wasn't there, the stick wasn't there, there was nothing there.
Like instantaneous? Like seconds?
Like instantaneous. Like I'm talking like long enough for me to turn around, pick up a football, and then turn back around.
That's an angel.
Yeah. So literally, wow. I start getting like shaking. Like I was physically like shaking on the field.
Wow.
Not knowing what's going on. I'm like, I'm going to finish this workout and then I'm going to leave. Well, I go to kick a football and I can't like swing my leg. I'm shaking so bad. I start crying. I'm like a 16-year-old man. I wanted to call myself then, but like right. crying on this football field. So I hop back in my truck. Luckily I live like 7 minutes from the field. I hop back in my truck and I'm driving back to my mom's townhouse. And you know how those doors, like you have the glass door and then you have the actual door to the house.
Yeah.
My mom always kept the actual door to the house open and just had the glass door so we could see out. And she was like standing at the glass door. I don't know if it was like mother's intuition or God told her something. I've never asked her, but like she was standing at the glass door. Like you could tell she knew something was wrong with me. Mm. And, so she's standing at the glass door. I open the door. I'm bawling. She comes out. Of course, when I'm crying, she starts crying. She doesn't even know what she's crying about. But honestly, the only thing I could get out of my mouth at the time was, big black guy with a stick.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
The only thing I could get out of my mouth. So I'm sure my mom's, like, mind is just going crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the only thing I could get out of my mouth. So finally I calmed down enough. She gets me calmed down enough to kind of tell her what had happened. And then I'm, like, sitting there talking to her about it. And I was like, Mom, that was an angel. Like, that was an angel. Like, there's no other explanation for this. It was an angel. And then, like, the only details I can remember about the guy.
No doubt.
Besides what I've said, is that he had on a Clemson orange shirt. Like, Clemson orange is, like, a distinguishable orange.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Like, he had, like, a Clemson orange shirt on. Didn't have a Tiger Paw or anything on it, but it was just a Clemson orange shirt. I looked at my mom, I was like, Mom, I'm supposed to go to Clemson. Like, I know now I'm supposed to go to Clemson. And then, so, I ended up committing to Clemson, like, 2 weeks later. Had this like that crazy moment that I actually get like cold chills talking about. Like this crazy moment where I firmly believe God had sent an angel down because I had sat there and asked God, like, God, I need your help. Help me. And he sent an angel down and helped me. I mean, that's the only thing explained.
Man, I got chills listening to you, Brad.
Yeah. I've tried to like find the guy. If he does exist. I've tried to find the pastor of the church. The guy doesn't exist. It didn't add up, and it was only a God thing. And that's really when I was like, you know what, God, like, I'm yours. Like,
yeah.
I'm completely yours. Like, you got me. Whatever you want to do with me, we're going to do it. And that's kind of how my faith journey started for myself.
That's incredible. And then you end up, so you do go to Clemson, where I know Coach Sweeney, Dabo Sweeney, is a strong man of faith. I've had him on this show before. What was his influence like on you throughout your career there?
It's a great influence. Having a leader like that, that is, I won't say pushes the Bible, but is not hiding his faith. Mm-hmm. That doesn't hide his faith, that it will talk about it to the team, will talk about it to anybody that you can talk to about it. Having a guy like that, to kind of like look at and be like, you know what, like he's successful, he knows what he's doing, he's done it, and to kind of have it as an example was very good for me. And then I ended up meeting guys like Jeff Davis. Mm-hmm. He played in the NFL for a while, played for Tampa actually, who was a coach also, or a personnel on the team. Yeah. And becoming a mentor, who's also a pastor. So having people like that just around Clemson that have filled sowed into my life was amazing, and there was no doubt that God meant for me to go to Clemson. Not my wife. I mean, I live 20 minutes from Clemson now, so, like, there was no doubt God wanted me to go there.
And then you end up, you leave early after 3 years. Punters usually don't leave early, but it took, yeah. I mean, that took a leap of faith for you to do that, and you end up going to San Francisco in the fifth round.
That was a God thing also. So, me and my wife now, we were dating for like 2 years at the point where I was kind of like figuring it out. And we actually broke up. And it was one of those times that Clemson, I was at Clemson, and I'm going to preface this and say, Clemson is like the best university in the entire world. And I have no clue why I felt like this at Clemson, but I felt stagnant. I felt like, I just wasn't like where I was supposed to be. I felt like I had fulfilled my purpose at Clemson. I felt like it was time for my next step. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I kept having these feelings, and I ended up talking to Jeff Davis, who was my mentor, about it. And, just kind of like talking to him about it numerous times. And we had a Bible study. They would get together with probably like 10 to 15 of the guys on the team at a local, pastor's house. And, literally I'd been talking about it for like a month probably. And was like considering it, like flirting with it, trying to like do research. And then the Bible study that night was consider your calling. And it literally went through these 7 points. And it was like each point just like dug deeper and deeper and deeper into me. And was like, you know what, God's telling me to do this. I've asked God to like help me through this. And he's like straight telling me like, this is your calling. This is what you're meant to do. You're going to do it. And so literally like the next week I went into Coach Sweeney's office and was like, Coach, appreciate it, but I'm going to leave for the NFL. And like you said, people looked at me cross-eyed. But it was one of those things where God had his hand on me the whole entire time. I ended up going to the combine, which as a junior punter shouldn't have happened. I ended up going to getting drafted in the fifth round, which as a punter is a shock anyways, much less as a junior punter.
Yes.
I was the only specialist taken in that draft.
Wow.
Which is just another, like, one of those what the heck things. Like, it's just God had put his hand on all of it, so much so that, like, you can't make it up. Like, it's like once you hear it, you're like, what? No way. Like, and just, like, the things that lined up were truly impeccable, and only God can do that. And so it was one of those God moments where I was like, God, it's like, you're going to do this. You might look crazy. People might call you crazy, but we're going to get you through it.
That's incredible, man. That's an incredible story. And then so you're with the Niners for a few years, and then you end up leaving, right? So they're going through some down times. You end up leaving. You come to Tampa. They go to the Super Bowl.
So listen to this. If you want your team to go win it or go to a national championship, the year I left Clemson as a junior, the next year they went to the national championship.
Oh, my goodness.
I leave San Francisco. The next year they go to the Super Bowl. So, like, if you want your team to go to the win at all, just have me on your team and get me to leave, and then you'll go.
These are definitely exciting times to be a Buccaneer, right? Because, I got to ask you, where were you when you found out that Tom Brady is coming to Tampa, and what was your reaction to that?
You know, you'd have thought that I had signed a new contract out of the amount of text messages that I had.
Wow.
It was really cool. I was in my house. Hanging out, and you'd heard the rumblings of weeks prior that Tampa Bay was in the mix, and then we actually got him. I'm actually going to back up and say that Jameis Winston is one of the best human beings, one of the best spiritual leaders, one of the best leaders in the locker room that you'll ever meet.
Wow.
I've had the pleasure of knowing Jameis for like 8 years because we were high school, came out at the same time in high school, and went to NFL at the same time. And, one of the best dudes you'll ever meet. So firm in his faith. I know he's had a lot of crazy stuff go on, but he's really transformed his life.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife now are, like, amazing spiritual people. And I know nothing but good things are going to happen for Jameis. And actually, in talking to Jameis since things have happened, Jameis's kind of output is like, you know, if you're going to lose your job, you might as well lose it to the GOAT. He's in good spirits about it, but no, like, at first it was sorrow because of the person that I know Jameis is, and I know his family. Mm-hmm. But then you can't help but be excited when you get a guy like Tom Brady, and you get a guy that can, one human being has the power to change a whole organization, to change a whole fan base, to change a whole locker room. It's really exciting. I know that I've probably worked harder than I ever have, because I have a guy like that in the locker room. because I have a God that's going to know, going to hold me to a high standard. And that's just something that has elevated me to another level. So I'm sure it's doing it for other people also.
Already in this short time, Brett? Like,
oh, for sure. You just know. Like, you know, like, you've heard the stories and you hear the things of what he has done and what he has done at the Patriots. And you just know you better be ready.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if that's a punter, I'm right. sure other people have felt the same way.
Well, I know one of his first requests was to get everyone on the team's number. Did he or has he reached out to you yet?
Yeah, I'm still waiting on my call or text message. No, I don't expect to get one from him. I expect him to reach out, like, to the Mike Evans, to the Chris Godwins, to the offensive line, to running backs, the guy he's going to be directly affected with, because those are the people that he needs to develop relationships with. So I don't expect one. If I get one, I would be thoroughly shocked. Not that I don't think he's the type of guy that would send the punter one, but I just would be shocked.
Well, man, hey, listen, I really appreciate this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, Brad. God bless you in this tough time, man. Keep spreading the word. Keep doing what you're doing. Really appreciate you using the platform you have to share Christ, and hope you have an awesome season, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir, of course. Thank you.
That was Tampa Bay Buccaneers punter, kickoff specialist Bradley Pinion. Such an incredible testimony. So grateful for his willingness to share it with us. You are listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. A big thanks to our guest, Bradley Pinion. Thank you to Doug Horton for handling the business side. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does on our website, podcast, blog. Thank you to Jim Henderson for his work behind the scenes. And a thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Also, thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. I hope everyone has a wonderful Easter celebration despite what is going on around us. He is risen. We will see another victory for Remy and Kyle. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.